nicely separated, divide and conquer. Let me drop. To me, it's a nice, simple antenna that does everything. The only thing you got to worry about, if you don't want your feed line to be part of the radiating system, is you do have to have some kind of a choking, balloning-like device at the feed point. Because if you simply brought your RG8 coax cable up to the junction of all of these fan dipoles and put the shield to one side and the center connect to the other side, you will be creating some RF energy flowing down the outside of the coax. Putting back some kind of a balloning device, current-like balloon and or choking device at that point, which could be as simple as a number of turns of the cable held together with a black tape or with tie wraps, is good enough. And a little bit of radiation of the feed line is not the end of the world, but in some cases it's undesirable. So fan dipole, to me, is a simple solution. Not everybody agrees. Maybe you don't have that many support devices. And the next question some people will ask is, well, if I only have one support on each end, how close can they be? There have been a couple of designs that you can find in the good books where somebody has taken the ribbon cable, the 8-conductor ribbon cable that's used for feeding a rotator, like a AMM, and by cutting various pieces of it, made a fan dipole out of it. No separation at all. Now, he had to do a lot of retuning of the higher frequency elements because with that closer spacing, he had a lot of extra capacitance. And the 40-meter dipole, for all I know, instead of it being 66 feet long, had to be cut down to 50 feet to resonate under that condition. So you can see how you can make it work. And to me, it's a easier approach, but that's me. Over to you for any further comments on this one, Joe, number two. WB2HRO, K2LIW in the SIGNET.
Sounds like it's a cheaper way to go, too. WB2HRO in the group. Trimming, you start out long and you keep trimming until it's the right length, you're probably okay. Do you have, can you use 40 for 15, like you're on a straight dipole, so you only need, 80, 40, 20, 10, or something like that?
MQEO.
So that's a pretty good way of going, and then you can put up even a 160 or something, if you have room. Now, is another question on that. With the fan dipole, do you use 50 ohm or 75 ohm? What kind of line do you use?
That's not as, N2EO, Rich recognized, get to you in a second. The exact line you use, whether it be 50 ohm or 70 ohm, is a rather minor academic difference, Joe number two, not to worry. As long as your transmitter can tolerate a 1.5 standing wave ratio, whether you use 70 or 50 ohm cable, doesn't really change it very much. If you're using an antenna tuner, the problem goes away. So there are people who think if you've got a 50-ohm antenna and you feed it with 70-ohm cable, that it's going to explode, catch on fire, and the transmitter is going to have damage. Not true at all. Not to worry about that so much. And the tuning process is nowhere near as difficult as you think. It's a fun process to do. And will the 40-meter dipole work on the 21 megacycle, 15 meters? Absolutely. The only catch there is that because of the capacitive loading of the 40-meter dipole being near the 80-meter dipole, when you get ideal tuning for 40 meters, it might not necessarily be ideal tuning for 15 meters. It may be a little bit off because of the capacitive loading effect. However, the next step beyond that, if you do the right kind of computer modeling, guarantee you can put a small loading coil at the bottom of the 40-meter dipole, so that is it a loading coil or a loading capacitor? I don't know yet, but you put the right kind of a reactive device, a small amount of reactant, at the base of the 40-meter dipole, guarantee you can force the middle of the Viswa curve on 40 meters and the middle of the Viswa curve on 15 meters to be exactly where you want it. You have the technology to do that. Joe number two first. WB2HRO, K2RIW in the SECNET.
Yes, WB2HRO in the group. Very good. Reestablishing the amateur radio station at City College. It's been defunct for 30 years, and this spring we're trying to bring it back to life. We've got the membership. We don't have any equipment yet. We'll be looking for donations, etc. We have the call sign, and I mean, that's all been preserved, thanks to myself and a friend, but I've been thinking of antennas and so forth. forth, and I think we're leaning towards the fan dipole because you don't have to have, now some people would say a Carolina Wyndham, a fan dipole, or one or the other. I imagine they do pretty much the same thing, you know, with some nuances. But I think the quick way would be a fan dipole. And what do you think about a long wire for one? Well, you could do a loop for 160 or a long wire. We have a lot of property. Anyway, back to the guy who gave it to me.
35 Joe number 2. I'm Dick, take you Romeo into your whiskey. I claim to be the net control here. So John and I, WB2, KC2WGB, and I, we don't always keep complete control. As you can tell, Joe number 2, you've got multiple solutions to your particular problem, and that's the right way to be. Yes, it's a little bit frustrating to say, whichever way you choose, somebody's going to say, hey, you chose the wrong one. Prepare yourself ahead of time. But do a little bit of research like you're doing, make a decision and stick to it, and I think you're going to be happy. Barry Barry N2MB, I'm pretty sure he and Rich N2EO as a team have built fan dipoles, Carolina Wyndhams, and whatever. And Rich, I bet you're going to give us a little bit of your experience on were you able to make it work on 40 meters and 15 meters simultaneously. N2 Echo Oscar, glad to hear you're back out of the hospital. K2 Rally governing the TechNet. Go ahead, Rich. Could be wrong. I thought I did hear N2EO. Let's go over to Bernie. We've been keeping him waiting long enough. K2 Mike Uniform. K2LAW. Go ahead, Bernie.
I'm here, Dick. N2EO. Patty was just talking to me.
Go ahead, Rich. I was a little bit afraid that somebody had imitated your voice, but I didn't think anybody could do it as well as you do. N2EO. K2LAW. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, Dick, what I was going to say, you really don't have to, I've said this before, you really don't have to use a resonant antenna. Making a, just a random wire, halfway to dipole, to the lowest frequency in use, and feeding it with open wire line to a tuner works fine. I've been doing it here for a few years on 80 meters right up to 10 meters, and it works fine. So if he wants to go down to 80, what he has to do is make a dipole that's at least 132 feet set in the center, feed it with open wire line, 450 ohms, or whatever open wire line to a tuner. That's all he's got to do.
Very fine, Rich. And Joe number 2, that's another approach. A simple 80 meter dipole with the right kind of a choking device, fed with 50-ohm coax cable, for instance, although there's a hell of a lot of benefit of feeding with open wire line. Open wire line has a hell of a lot less loss. And when it comes to an 80-meter dipole fed on 40 meters, you need that characteristic. Because the 80-meter dipole on twice the frequency, 40 meters, where it's not a half wave anymore, it's full wave, you're now feeding something close to 2,000 ohms. 2,000 ohms is, I forget the exact number, 50 divided into 2,000, you and I can do that. I think it's a 20-to-1 standing wave ratio. It's a huge standing wave ratio. With that high a standing wave ratio, there are two slight disadvantages. Number one, you got to use open wire lines, so you got very low loss, so you can tolerate a high VISWR without getting a whole lot of extra loss in the transmission line caused by the VISWR, the energy bouncing back and forth in the transmission line. Number two, when you're using an antenna on twice the frequency, dipole-like thing, because the Q is so high and the reactance is so high, every time you QSY a few kilohertz, you're going to do a substantial amount of retuning of the antenna tuner. So if you're doing a whole lot of QSYing during a contest, that could be a little bit of a pain, unless you've got some kind of a memory device. Let me drop this. Unless your antenna tuner has got some kind of a memory where you've done all of the tuning ahead of time, memorized all of those settings of the tuning and loading control, so to speak, so that when you go to the new frequency, you know exactly what settings to go to. So maybe that could become a wash. But if you're doing manual retuning of an antenna tuner on a very high VISWR antenna, 80 meters being fed on 40 meters, that is going to be a little bit of a pain. And whereas by way of the fan dipole, where you've got rather low VISWR and a nice, simple-looking bathtub-shaped curve of VisWire versus frequency, then the amount of retuning as you QSY becomes a hell of a lot smaller. So I think it's worth the investment. But it's just another way to go. As you can see, there's a lot of ways of solving this particular problem, Joe, number two. Okay, we've dwelled more than enough on that beautiful antenna and variations of it. We're really going to go over to Bernie. K2 Mike Uniform. Sorry to keep you waiting so long, Bernie. K2LIW, the tech man.
Okay, K2MU here. Thanks, Dick. Yeah, that's really interesting. I enjoyed that discussion there. Well, this is a little off topic, not tech, but is ham radio. And yeah, it's about, I have an appeal of a New York City, I was holding my HT at a stoplight. Without going into details, well, just what I'm looking for is if anybody has possibly any ideas of getting it dismissed or going through the back door, because it seems like I was got under the electronic device, which is hard to beat in New York City. And I'm trying not to, don't want to spend legal fees and all that. So if anybody has information, I don't want to take that time to go into it. So if I could just give my email, it's my name, Bernard Weinstock, WEINSTOCK, at yahoo.com. So my call sign is online, Bernard Weinstock, WEINSTOCK, at yahoo.com. And if anybody has any way of maybe, you know, helping with ham radio. To make a long story short, I was holding my HT at a red light, so it was under the electronic device law, and I already went before a judge with the upstate decision and with the license and with all the information and expected it to be dismissed. As we all know, that's not the case now, so just I have to send in this letter for appeal, so I just thought I would make an appeal to my fellow hams. I see if there's anybody who knows somebody or who could or what to do. All right, back to you, Dick. Thank you.
Stand by, Bernie. You don't have to rush so much on this one. If I understand correctly from what Little I was hearing earlier, you were in one of the five boroughs of New York City, I believe, possibly in Queens, but almost doesn't matter, maybe in Manhattan. Anyhow, you were using the handy-talkie held up to your face, transmitting probably to a repeater, almost doesn't matter. And by way of the officer giving you a ticket, accusing you of using an electronic device, which implies, but doesn't say, that it's something like text messaging on a cell phone, which is definitely illegal, and certainly would be diverting your attention and creating a significant driving hazard. So here you are using ham radio in the usual way that we all think should be legalized, because holding a handy talkie in your hand up to your face while driving and looking straight forward versus holding a microphone up to your face and pressing the push-to-talk button, there's essentially no difference there. And the person, let me drop. The person holding that microphone up to your face and it could be a law enforcement officer, it could be a person doing a driving of a an emergency vehicle, an ambulance or whatever. So holding a coil cord microphone up to your face versus a handy talkie, there is no real difference. And we know that people using emergency vehicles talking while rolling is perfectly legal. By way of ham radio, we should be allowed to do that. Bernie has already come before a judge and been denied. And to my knowledge, he already brought to the judge's attention a prior lawsuit, a prior ticket where the ham radio operator was dismissed, but the so-called electronic device is such an extremely vague set of words being used in some of the boroughs of New York City, it makes it a hell of a lot more difficult to fight. As such, Bernie was denied on his first hearing. He's now going to an appeal court to try to bring up further evidence as to his innocence in this situation. Anybody with any further information that would help Bernie, obviously it's the right way to go. Many of us are recommending that Bernie use an attorney for the next step. There's good and bad about that. The attorney can give him a hell of a lot more performance in getting the decision he wants. That's the good news. The attorney, I am guessing, unless it happens to be a ham radio, very friendly attorney, or a good friend of his, is probably going to cost him greater than $1,000 is my guess. And to we amateur radio operators, that's beyond the threshold of expense, because I could buy a significant number of Baofeng handy talkies with that money, if you know what I mean. It's a lot of equipment spending power, and to send it to an attorney just because of a silliness of this ruling of an electronic device being used, and he was at a stoplight at a red light when it was occurring.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
He wasn't even
on our fire course.
He wasn't even rolling at the time, so there's a lot of unfairness here. So anybody with any suggestions you want to give us right now, and Bernie already gave us his website by which you can get him at yahoo.com, and that's K2 Mike Uniform, or Monkey's Uncle, should make it easier to remember. UPRZ.com, K2 Mike Uncle, you'll know his exact name and spelling, and follow that with .yahoo.com, and now you can talk to him directly. So any of you with any suggestions for the next level of appeal that Bernie is going to, please give us your call letters right now. K2RIW in the TechNet. Whoever's going to speak, wait long enough for all four beeps so that we can hear somebody out of the area if they want to get through. K2RIW listening.
KB1IFY on Echo Lincoln. Any answer?
Okay. It sounded like Kilo Bravo 1. India Foxtrot Yankee is what it sounded like. Please correct me. We're going to wait long enough for you to come back. Start off with your name and go right ahead with your suggested information for Bernie in this situation. Kilo Bravo 1, India Foxtrot Yankee, question mark, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Yeah, new LDHT here. KB1IFY. Yeah, I was trying to get in last night. I got a suggestion for him. The ARRL has legal counsel and he has attorneys. Why doesn't he contact the ARRL and see if they'll help him out with this? And it shouldn't cost him anything out of his pocket over here. You got Bill over in Stanford, Connecticut. Unfortunately, I'm working tonight and my HT just won't reach the repeater. But that is my suggestion. Back to you, Dick. Save me one offline.
It is a good suggestion, Bill, but there's a limit to it. By that I mean, the ARRL does have a number of publications and pamphlets and whatever that'll help you with legal matters with reference to the zoning laws and traffic violations when using ham radio. They have a number of documents that will help. But you're suggesting that the ARRL also has the resources to supply direct legal aid in his next level of appeal. And I think the answer to that might be no. I don't think they have the resources. Yes, they have an attorney on retainer that can make general suggestions. But for the ARRL to supply an attorney directly, which is what I think Bernie might need. Here I'm not positive, but I think he might need an attorney in the next level, because it's sad to hear that the judges and courts will pay a lot of attention to the right kind of a respected attorney. That's another thing. You have to choose an attorney that particular court will respect. In the case of zoning law, I have seen in my own personal experience, where I came before the Zoning Board of Appeals because of my radio tower, and the particular amateur radio operator attorney I used for the first case, appeal, so to speak, went poorly, and they decided against me. When I chose the second attorney, which was one that was very well known to the town because he had set a number of the zoning laws of the town, they gave him a heck of a lot more respect and proper response, if you know what I mean. So by some magic, if you can choose an attorney that particular court will respect, it makes a huge improvement. But that's an opinion on my part. I may not be right all the time, if you know what I mean. So definitely go to the league and see what they've got, Bernie. But I'm not convinced it's going to be the perfect solution. Anyone else have any other suggestions for Bernie? K2 Mike Uniform. And by way of QIZ.com, you can get the exact spelling of his full name and put that name in front of .yahoo.com, and you'll be able to communicate with him directly. Anyone else with any further suggestions for Bernie, give us your call letters right now. Wait for the four beeps first so that somebody out of the area can join us. K2RIW listening. So maybe we have no further information at this time, Bernie. K2 Mike Uniform, and come on back next week and tell us how it goes if you want to, Bernie. K2 Mike Uniform, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay, thanks, Dick. I appreciate it. Yeah, and just, I'm trying to do it without hiring an attorney. It was a $60 ticket. I mean, it should be, you know, we're the amateur radio service. This is a mistake. I mean, that's clear. This shouldn't be allowed in any place. And just for clarification, though, I was at a light, and I was turning it off. I wasn't using it. It was sitting on the passenger seat on, but I wasn't using it, and I picked it up to turn it off. Now, according to the device law, a couple of things everybody should know about it in New York City. It includes stop at a light, number one. Okay, so that's, you can, if you're holding an HT, stop at a light, that's not good. It also, what was I thinking there? It includes stop at a light, and also, if you're holding it, you're presumed using it. That's pretty, I think it's pretty explicit in the law, is what I remember. And also, it lists all the radio services that are exempt, like the police and emergency and a whole bunch of people, and it doesn't list the amateur radio service. So there are the problems. So I'm just hoping maybe, you know, I think instead of fighting by the law, just I'm hoping to get it dismissed by somebody who's sympathetic to the amateur radio service. And, you know, there should be national attention to this. This is really not cool. You know, I understand don't use an HT and all of this, but, you know, I didn't know that then. It was an unmarked car and wasn't even, you know, it was time for tickets. So New York City is better watch out, but I think we all have to, you know, watch out for each other with this stuff. So thank you, Dick, for the time. Back to you.
I've got a further question for you, Bernie, and that is, in the big picture, the $60 that you were fined for this ticket, to most of us, is fairly small. Many of us would pay the $60 and walk away and forget it. I think you're pursuing this for one of two reasons. Either the total number of points against your license, somehow I doubt that, but maybe that's part of the factor. And second of all, the principle of the thing. There is a definite unfairness here where many of the emergency services are allowed to use a thing that they hold up to their mic, up to their mouth, and they squeeze the push-to-talk button, and whether that be a handy-talkie or a microphone on a coil cord is a very minor difference. So it could be you're pursuing this because of the principle, you want to correct the principle, and you want other amateurs to not be given this disadvantage the same way you are. So is your motivation points license or principle of the thing? I think I'm guessing it's principle, and you want to correct the unfairness. K2 Mike Uniform for a comment. K2RIW in the second.
K2MU here. Well, actually, it's not about the point. I have a clean license, so I don't want the points. But points aren't going to kill me. I shouldn't be getting the points, but it's not like I have points and this is going to put me over the top and I have to fight it. So, you know, it's not to that extent. But as far as the principle, it's not even, Dick, it's beyond principle. You know, we're the amateur radio service. We're the people on the news all the time. I explained to the judge and to the cop. I was like, we're the guys that help you guys in emergencies. I was like, I mean, I'm kind of dumbfounded, Dick. It's like, there's no recognition, let alone respect. I don't know what the deal is, you know. That's all. It's like, clearly, this is a mistake. Oh, you're a ham. You're one of the ham operators. You talk to people who don't know much. They go, oh, yeah, civil defense. Yeah, you guys, ham operators, yeah. You know, it's not, so it's like, I'm not even going on the law part of it. It's just like, clearly, this is a mistake. There should be some kind of presidential pardon. Retroactive to any ham operator, you know, this is like, that's my opinion. So there you go. Is it about the points? It's not about the money. And is it about the points? Yeah, I'd rather not have the points, but it's more like, you know, this isn't just about me. This is like Limark. This is everybody. This is every ham operator. I mean, where does it, is it just HTs or is microphones too? And, you know, I don't know. It's just I feel like, you know, we need to protect mobile amateur radio and affect all of us. So anyway, long answer there, Dick. K2RIW, K2MU.
Bless you, Dick.
John recognized. Hey, Bernie, we're with you on this one. It is overly obvious by Superstorm Sandy and those nor'easters that followed and those snowstorms that more than a million human beings were put into fantastic grief during Sandy and those storms that followed, where they were out of electricity for long periods of time, many days, complete houses wiped out, something like 120 people drowned in various methods, and I think the drowning was electrocution, but it doesn't matter. I mean, during the Hurricane Sandy situation, a hell of a lot of human beings were drastically helped by ham radio operators, and for having ham radio operators being mistreated in this manner so soon after Sandy, it certainly rubs us the wrong way, and it should. And I feel for you, Bernie, and I know where you're coming from. John, KC2WGB, K2LAW, go ahead, John.
Before John, I have a question. How many attorneys the person is entitled to? Because he could have a professional who acts as an attorney, 10, 20, whatever. I believe that's allowed by law. Dick?
Let John answer first. KC2WGB, K2RW, go ahead, John.
Thank you, Dick. Maybe Bernie knows, on the list of people with permission to use it, are livery cabs or cab drivers, are they on that list? Maybe he knows. Back to you, Dick, KC2WGB.
Hold on now, John. If livery cab driver is on that list, and that's a person who is carrying on his occupation with a specific license to do that in the fire boroughs, are you suggesting, John, that that legality should be carried over to this non-commercial service, this amateur service? Are you saying that if one is legal, the other is legal? And I'm wondering why you single out that particular service as opposed to an ambulance service or a law enforcement service. Back to you for that one, John. KC2WGB, K2LIW.
Good question, Dick. Because I believe hams do more of it than cab drivers, are more experienced, and of course the level difference between them, we won't get into that, but I think we are more capable than a cab driver to drive and use a radio. So that was the point of my question.
Now, that extra capability that a ham radio operator would have by comparison to a livery driver, is that because of the licensing procedure to get the FCC license? In theory, a person getting a livery license has also proved that he has significant driving safety capability. Why should a ham radio operator be given the same amount of... I'm playing devil's advocate here, John. Why should a ham radio operator be given as a non-commercial person, who a person who is not doing it for his livelihood, he's doing it as a hobby. That hobby happens to be extremely helpful during periods of grief to the rest of humanity, but still, he's doing it as a hobby. And why should he be given the same amount of authority, permission, and whatever command to a person doing it for his livelihood? KC2WGB, K2RIW. Make that clearer for us, John.
KC2QIQ with a comment at the end, Dick.
Glad recognized. John first. Go ahead, John.
Okay, Dick. Excellent question. Let me let it drop. Well, first of all, Dick, they are doing, a cab driver, a livery cab, is performing community service for a profit. We also perform a community service at our own expense with absolutely no profit. So I think that is, should grandfather us as an entitlement. But Glenn has a lot of legal experience, so I'll defer to Glenn. But that's my answer, Dick.
Very fine. And Glenn, KC2QIQ, what do you believe is the right way of looking at this? And in his particular situation, where he'd rather not spend $1,000 or $2,000, but still, if you were in his situation, and you're a little bit better off than most of us, Well, I better not say that. You're now putting a lot of money into restoring your home, which was really heavily damaged during Sandy. Still, would you be hiring an attorney in this situation, Glenn? KC2QIQ, K2LIW in the tech end.
Well, I've got a couple of suggestions here. I did speak to Bernie earlier this week, before this, and I gave him a couple of suggestions on what he'd probably be up against. And in the meantime, I kind of got in touch with a few of my friends that are active in the New York, you know, that are attorneys in the New York City area, and we went over a little bit of the background together of some of the kinds of things that he would be up against, and it came down to a couple of things. Well, the first thing is, how would I handle it? I would probably handle this one a little bit differently. If I received a ticket the first time around, I think what I would do is I'd probably make an appointment with the district attorney office or wherever the jurisdiction where this is taking place and try to explain the situation before I make a plea, and then take it from there and then see if I can, you know, work some kind of negotiation around it. I think that would be my first step in, or see if I can get it dropped. You can't argue with a police officer on this one. Let me drop, and then I'll go into the second half of what I think Bernie needs to do now. See, the predicament that he's in right now is that he's already been found guilty on the ticket, so now he's going towards an appeal. And the problem there is there really isn't many arguments you can make other than the legal one to get you back so that you can appeal it. So by looking at the law and seeing where the wiggle room is in the word emergency. So if he wants to get an attorney in the future to continue to fight this somebody in New York City, I think what he's got to do is mount his case around, or his argument to the city of New York, that his communication was emergency communication, and establish whatever documentation that he can that the amateur radio service is an emergency service organization, and handle it from that way. Because I think if he doesn't, there's not much of any other wiggle room that he has other than trying to use emergency and squeeze the law around that, and then at least he'll have another day in court. KC2QIQ.
WK2D.
Yeah, I had a question. Do it normal that a person could refuse the attorney and be his own attorney? But at the same token, the person could have 20 people designated acting as an attorney. Is that true or it's false?
Stand by now. Let's first discuss the subject on the floor, so to speak. The word emergency, and by the way, WK2D recognized, we'll get to you in a second, sir. The word emergency, had an emergency taken place during the incident of where he got the ticket, most likely during his first court hearing, that would have been brought to the attention. To suddenly say that he was doing an emergency at that time would sound like it is a made-up excuse, but there's a way around that. We amateur radio operators, by way of the FCC granting that license, one of the primary reasons they grant that license is because of the beautiful performance that we can perform during emergencies. Therefore, when we talk to each other over ham radio during a repeater or whatever, it could be called practice communication for what we're going to be doing when the emergency takes place. So even if an emergency wasn't taking place during that particular incident when he got the ticket, still that communication could be considered practice for when the emergency is going to take place. So that's point number one. Point number two, let me drop. You're suggesting that in a repeat situation like the one that Bernie ran into, if a person was able to schedule a meeting with the district attorney of that particular borough, that particular district, and if the district attorney understood what's going on, and therefore you can get the district attorney to understand the details, and then when you do come before the judge, you bring the decision of that district attorney to the judge's attention, obviously that decision of the DA is going to be given a lot more emphasis. I think that's what you're suggesting, Glenn, that the prior meeting with the DA can go a long way to straightening out the situation where ham radio operators are not being properly respected and recognized in this situation. Is that one way of looking at it, Glenn? KC2QIQ, KQLIW?
Further comment.
John recognized after K2D. Go ahead, Glenn first.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Dick. What basically happens there is you'll never meet the district attorney. You're going to meet an assistant. There'll be some assistants and assistants, helpers, et cetera, et cetera. And they have legal aides and everything else all inside that area. And I think what the reality is that when you go inside there, at that point, you're not insulting the police officer. Now you're taking your time to go in there, talk to the district attorney at that point in time, because now the case is live before it's going to go into a courtroom someplace. And usually when you explain what's going on to a district attorney, a lot of times they'll just say, this is not what we're after, this is not what we're all about. And they don't have to make excuses for the police officer. They just kind of be like, you know, this is going away, it's off the docket, blah, 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 and it's done. You know, so there's a lot of things that can happen in their office. Like you're saying, they're there to fight for the city, fight for revenue, fight for all of these things. And with something like this that comes up, it's kind of like an oddball, and nobody wants to be embarrassed. But remember, when they're going in front of the judge, now it's a little bit different, because now what they want to do is now they're in for the money, and they don't want to look like they're losing to a private citizen. You see what I'm saying? So there's a little bit of saving face here as well. KC2QIQ.
Yeah, in many cases, the image that's projected is very important. I can see that. John, number two, Whiskey Kilowatt 2 Delta. Go right ahead, John, with your comment on the subject. K2LIW and the TechNet. My name is Dick.
Okay, Dick, very good. Same here as John. You got that right. I'm in Masbit, Queens. I like what you said, Dick. The whole thing is about emergency. Now, as a ham, if you have amateur radio license plates, you are considered an emergency vehicle. Now, when I got my plates, I had a hard time finding it on the Internet, and then when I went to emergency, the area from the DMV on emergency, let me drop, came up there, so we are actually considered emergency vehicles. Now, I like what you said, that we have to practice in case of an emergency. So in that aspect, if I'm traveling around Queens or Brooklyn or Bronx or Manhattan, and I have my HT with me, I have to know what parts of the city I can communicate with in the event of an emergency. So those two things together, the fact that a ham with the license plates, and that would be debatable if he doesn't have the plates, but he could pull that up off the Internet from the DMV showing that it is an emergency vehicle, and the fact that he needs to find out what parts of the city he has access to with his radio, if he brings that up, there's a possibility that may work, Dick. Over.
I have a question. Yes, stand by with the question. You're going to be after John, number one. Let me write that. The person with the question. And that is, you got a very good point, John, number two, WK2D, and that is, rarely is there a repeater that covers all five boroughs. If I pick up the Limark repeater, one of the major ones in the area, and I drive through a tunnel into the Marble Canyons of Manhattan, my coverage is going to be kind of marginal. There are other repeaters that work well in Manhattan. And by the same token, a repeater that works well in Staten Island is not going to necessarily work well in the Bronx. So the practice of driving through those areas and doing what looks like casual communication is really practice for which repeaters have echo link capability and direct access to law enforcement and whatever, or emergency services. So the practice of general sounding communication is really emergency preparation. I like that. First, we go over to John, KC2WGB. Go right ahead, John. K2LIW in the second hand.
Well, Dick, I was just wondering, out of KC2WGB, being that this was issued for an electronic device, okay, is it possible that Limark, in their budget, may have enough funding to afford an attorney, which they may even know, to help set a precedent to finally squash this thing and get it over with? The fact that you need a license plate, no, your ham ticket should be sufficient. You're now, maybe that you should follow that. But just an idea.
KB2IQM with a comment.
Chris recognized you're going to be right after the previous questioner. And John, number one and number two, both, the carrying your ham radio license with you is an extremely good thing to do. I haven't been doing it. I'm going to start doing it. Second of all, when I get back to John, number, when I get back to Bernie, Bernie, I heard you mention earlier, K2MU, that you know of a previous case which sets a precedent that you tried bringing to the judge, and he sort of ignored it. But that particular case, give us a name and a method by which we can get a copy of that particular ruling. Because if we had a copy of that ruling, and we presented it to the law officer at the time he's about to write the ticket, and then I know that you thought he was just going back to his car to check on whether or not your license has anything written against it, and it turns out he was going back there writing the ticket, and you didn't know that. But had you been able to present to him the prior ruling, there's a chance you could have nipped it in the bud, so to speak. Now, the person who asked the question, go right ahead, give us your call letters and your name, and after you, I'm going to be going to KB2IQ. And the person who asked that question, who was that? K2LIW in the TechNet?
IW in the net, WB2HRO, it's Joe number two. Actually, part of the question has been answered. A thing what we have to do as a community, and what came to mind is like the fellow was saying about, do they know that hams fall into a category? Unfortunately, today, not that many people know what we're all about. And both the law enforcement and other authorities should be briefed on what a ham is, what we can and cannot do. You know, if we're licensed, you show them that ticket, that's, as, you know, it's the driver's license for the air, you know what I mean? So, it's that they're not aware of the privileges and what have you that come with that ticket. So, anyway, back to the other guy.
And KC2QIQ with an additional comment that might straighten this out a little bit.
Glenn, we're going to go to you right after Chris. And you're absolutely right, John number two, Joe number two, and that is when this incident occurs, with great difficulty, you have to stay diplomatic. You have to stay calm. You have to not offend the officer. You got to act compliant. But you have to recognize the fact that we amateurs are oddballs. There's only one ham radio operator per 500 people in the general population. That's 0.05%. We are the oddballs. So you have to have a little bit of understanding for the fact that the general public, even law enforcement people, might not know who we are or what we do. We have to sort of start off with that understanding as far as empathy for their cause is concerned. By way of carrying your license, by way of carrying this prior case that Bernie's going to bring to our attention, that can help. Maybe some other one-page literature from the ARL that does a beautiful explanation for what is a ham radio operator. These slightly oddball people that are high technology off to one side of the normal society, if you know what I mean. KB2IQN, Chris, go right ahead. KQLIW in the TechNet.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm kind of flabbergasted that this is going on. I'm kind of surprised. But I wanted to mention, of course, that the ham license, besides being an emergency service, is also a federal license, right? It's not state. It's not like, you know, oh, you can't use your HT in Chicago or in New York City. So it doesn't make very much sense there. The other thing was, what about family radio service? I think that's another federal license. And then you get into, well, what about CB? Where it's unlicensed in any way, right, and now you're not allowed to use your CB radio. It's very strange. I don't really understand why or how New York City came up with this legislation without really thinking this through. Back to net, KB2IQN.
Okay, you brought up some interesting points, Chris. Too many people, ham radio operators and CBers, are wrapped together in the same category. It's unfair. A citizen ban ATM license is almost a license-free situation, almost. In fact, a hell of a lot of the people doing CB over the years were unlicensed. To exaggerate a little bit, some people have said that a ham radio operator is a CB-er with a Q, with a doctorate degree, with a PhD. It's an exaggeration. But still, we amateur operators have passed a significant federal exam proving that we have the technology and have the understanding to use the equipment correctly. We've also passed the driving department, you know what I mean, the Motor Vehicle Bureau. We passed their license so that in theory we know how to drive a car safely, in theory we know how to use a ham radio safely in that car. And so that should be recognized. Glenn, KCQQIQ, if you had the power, how would you solve this one, Glenn, KQRIW in the TechNet?
Well, I think two things have to happen here. One is, the first thing is that some media attention to something like this is probably a good thing. In which, if you can get a couple of media outlets to come down and see what's actually going on and how this law is affecting amateur radio operators in cars and automobiles, et cetera, et cetera, I think that that's the first step. That's a good thing. Because what you're trying to do here is you want to get this law changed. The next thing is to write letters to city officials that are responsible for, you know, pushing these laws and getting them passed, and try to, with letters, other things, embarrass them a little bit, get them to say, hey, there's this law needs an amendment. You know, something here has to include the amateur radio operator as an exclusion to this, or two-way radio devices and other things that, you know, because we're right now, let's face it, the city has no real reason to get rid of this. If anything, they make money off of it and other things. So there's no real reason for them to not leave it the way it is. Let me let it drop for a second. So getting a little bit of media attention, writing your congressman, your city officials, just whoever it is that's responsible for getting this law going, do a little bit of research, find out who was somebody. Usually there's somebody in the city who got this thing going, and maybe, in other words, they're the person who spearheaded this law, so to speak, and got it started, and then eventually got it passed in the city. So what you want to do is you want to find out who that individual is, and then explain to them the situation that you had, and was this really what you intended? That will also help other things. But in terms of the situation at hand right now with the court case, this is a little bit different, because now, you know, verdict been found guilty, now you need an appeal, got to go back and fight it. You know, going with emergency, that'll get you in the door, because it's an exception in the law. So in other words, once they see something that wasn't argued the first time around, that means they have to open it again. So the first thing you need to do is get the door open so that you have another day to get back in there and talk to somebody. If you don't make the right argument, it's just going to go in the garbage pail and you won't get the appeal at all. Case of 2, QIQ.
K2IO. Bernie, number 3 or number 2, recognized K2IO. Whoever wrote the original law, I am guessing, he knew that a person doing text writing, text messaging on a cell phone while driving is an extremely dangerous person. And that's really got to be stopped. I am guessing that that was the original intent. But the ambiguous wording that got into this crazy law became so all-encompassing, this electronic device, which is much too broad, had what I would call unintended consequences. And, wow, that's got to be changed. To try to find out who wrote the original law, to try to find out what his original intent was, probably against text messaging, we all sure wish he had used more succinct wording as to what he really wanted to address. Bernie, I believe your family is involved in law situations from time to time. How would you handle this one, Bernie? K2 Yankee Oscar, K2RIW.
Actually, I wanted to point out that go to Lilac's website, scroll down on the front page in the news section with a lot of expansion portion. It looks for something that says Mobile Operating Law Information. And it's actually from me. I put together found the three PDF files, one of which is the Bozak decision, where Steve Bozak, SBD2IQ2, on appeal, was able to overturn his citation. The other two documents are the older scanner laws and then the two newer, so it takes cell phone and texting laws. I've been pulled over three times now, working mobile, and never been written up. Usually what it comes down to is presenting to the officer. If it's an NYPD officer, they are very concerned about being overturned. And so I point out that the Bozak decision did overturn a local citation, and usually at that point they'll back down and just say, okay, do a dry citation. But I would highly recommend take all three of these documents, carry them with you, read them, understand them. I have had my lawyer actually look at texting law and say that the way that it's written does not include radio. So if I ever get actually a citation and have to fight it out, I know I'll lose in traffic court. Everybody loses in traffic court. The trick is to win an appeals court, and to do that usually you get the league to provide you some law support.
Bernie, I'm wearing earphones, and I could only understand one third of what you said. Your audio deviation is very low, and there was noise in the background. The net result was that you were 80% noise, 20% audio. Can you move to a slightly different location where the carrier is coming through more strongly? And can you give us a lot more audio to overcome the first problem? And repeat what you just said, because I only understood one third of it. I know it's good information. Please try again. K2 Yankee Oscar, K2LIW in the TechNet.
Sorry about that. I'm going to have to change radios. That'll take a few minutes. I'll be back in probably 5 or 6 minutes. Get your line.
If you just gave us twice as much audio by speaking close to that mic, I think we would get everything you're saying, Bernie. The choice is yours. I'll pass it over to you if you want to take that opportunity at this time. K2IO, K2RIW.
No, can do. I'll have to get back to you. K2IO, clear.
Whatever you did, you were almost perfect that time, Bernie. Give us some of that message again, in pieces. Go ahead, Bernie. Okay, Bernie is going to go to another radio. Who's the other person who just checked in? Give me your call letters and name. K2RIW, my name is Dick.
KC2OJO, Howard.
Go right ahead, Howard.
You know, I think the law is not as badly written as you might think. And in fact, I think you can get around it pretty easily. The law seems to be 1225B. In section 2B defines using. And it says, using shall mean holding a portable electronic device while viewing, taking or transmitting images, playing games, or composing, sending, reading, viewing, accessing, browsing, transmitting, saving or retrieving email, text messages, or other electronic data. RHDs generally don't do any of those, and in fact, Bernie wasn't doing any of those at that time. Let me drop.
Yes, they do. They transmit and receive. KC2QIQ.
Go ahead, continue, Howard. And we did hear what you said, Doug Glenn. Howard from Greenlawn, KC2OJO, go right ahead, K2LIW. Okay, maybe Howard got called away or something.
Yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead, Howard. KC2OJO, did you get a chance to finish what you were about to say, Howard? Because I thought I heard you say, let me drop for a second. KC2OJO, K2RIW.
Yeah. I believe transmitting, saving, or retrieving is email, text messages, or other electronic data. In other words, this is not meant for sending voice. This is the electronic device because of text messages. The other thing that's interesting is Section 4 that says that the presumption established by this subdivision is rebuttable. by evidence tending to show that the operator was not using the device within the meaning of the section, and you see it's pretty tightly defined. I think you can say, Judge, I can transmit, but I can't transmit in terms of playing games or video or retrieving or sending email or text messages. I'm just using voice. And I think you have a decent chance of getting around it.
Too wild. Bernie recognized. We'll get to you in a second. Howard, I'm going to send it back to you. When I do, make sure you wait for the beeps before you talk so you don't time out the machine. Where you were quoting Section 4 and other portions of law, you didn't tell us whether or not you were quoting from motor vehicle law or New York City law. Which law were you quoting, Bernie? Christian Howard, KC2OJO, wait for the beeps, K2RIW in the tech net.
I believe it's state law, and it's 1225-D, and it's labeled use of portable electronic devices.
Okay, now we know the reference, and that's state law 1225-D. Thank you. Bernie, K2 Yankee Oscar, please repeat everything that you said earlier. I could tell it was valuable information, but with earphones, I was only getting one-third of it, Bernie. You sound good right now. K2 Yankee Oscar, K2RIW.
Sorry about that, Dick. I was upstairs. I was in the, shall we say, local quiet zone because the XYL has gone to bed, and I can't get any more volume from me, and I'm also on an HT, so I had to go down the hill with some more power. Am I coming through okay now?
Dead full quieting. Clean and green. You're right ahead.
Well, first, I want to address what the gentleman just said. I am 100% in agreement with him. He is quoting the New York State, what's called a VAT Title 7, Article 33, Section 1225-D. That is the texting law. I have had my attorney look at it, who read it the same way the previous gentleman just said, that it does not include transmitting and receiving on a radio. It does include transmitting or receiving emails, but you have to very carefully read that section regarding using and parse the sentence out, and it will tell you exactly that it does not apply to radio. Now, anyone, I have been pulled over 3 times. I have not ever been cited. I would highly recommend that anybody that does drive and operate mobile go to the Limark website, scroll down to the blue section of expandable, or the blue area where you have expandable sections, and one of them, which has some documents that I basically PDF to put up there, you can download those documents. One of them is the Bozak decision, where Steve Bozak was able to overturn a traffic citation. The other two are, one of them is the scanning law, and then one of them is the section 1225, which is the cell phone law is, I think, C, and then the texting is D. I may have that backwards, but I believe that's correct. So I would definitely recommend download those. Let me drop. And the important thing, and I came to this conversation a little bit late, I do not believe there is a New York City law against driving with a cell phone. If there is, it would be completely redundant because there's a state law for it. Every time that I've been pulled over twice in New York City, and they were applying the state law. So if anybody is aware of a New York City law, I'd definitely like to know what's the section code for it, because I am not aware of one, and there is a state law that would supersede it. Not superseded, but there's a state law that would apply everywhere in the five boroughs. Do be aware that when Steve Bozak, who lives upstate, he was convicted in traffic court. He was convicted. He had to appeal his conviction. Pretty much a ham sandwich could get convicted in traffic court. Everybody gets convicted in traffic court. That's how they raise their money. The way that Bozak won, the ARRL provided some legal assistance to get a lawyer involved and actually appeal this. It was not a 100% appeal because the prosecution chose to not appear. Basically, they decided not to fight it out. And so we won, but there's no case where we can really say that we won on appeal.
KC2QIQ with further information on that.
Go right ahead, Glenn.
See, like Bernie is saying, in the city of New York, you have basically their, you know, traffic law